Welcome back to the summer at AUC, Institute for Islamic Studies. Today we sat with Professor Ahmed Altif Ahmed, Professor of Religious Studies at the University of California, Santa Barbara. He will be teaching during the Islamic Law program, and his week will cover the early period of Islamic law, with a particular focus on the work of the early Hanafi jurist Ash-Shaybani, who died in the year 805 of the Common Era. I started our conversation by asking him about his background and how he got interested in Islamic legal studies.
Very good. I am a student of Islamic law who enlarged his interests to include the history of other ideas, scientific, philosophical, and so on, because of my early upbringing. My early intellectual upbringing was in Darul Uloom. Professor Sarag was one of my professors. And in that school, there were seven departments, two broadly interested in language, two interested in literature and literary criticism, and three Islamic studies, one philosophy, one history, and one legal reasoning. And I've never lost that interest in the broad picture, but I always found that law is an easy entry to all these topics. Law includes language, and if you're interested in language and the ambiguities of language and the interpretation of language, that takes you there. It also takes you to all kinds of overlaps and intersections with scientific issues, what we think of a human being, what we think of a human nature, how we connect one individual human to the rest of society. So most of these forms of human knowledge get connected. It turns out, I didn't discover that. A lot of people said that, actually, in the Roman legal tradition that has been said, that there is nothing that does not enter into the law. So I became interested in Shaybani's texts, the 57 tracts, as I keep referencing them. Shaybani wrote more than the 57 books, but these 57 books were lucky enough to be considered the foundational texts for the Hanafi legal tradition, which, if you look closely, is the one responsible for many of the Islamic legal traditions. Maliki law wouldn't have included all these cases and legal scenarios without its reliance on the initial views of Abu Hanifa and his students. And Shafi'i wouldn't have produced this system without being a student of Shaybani, too. So I am interested in Shaybani's books. The books are indicated, their title is their subject. So a book on prayer, Salah, is followed by books on menses, the menstrual periods and how they affect rituals and so on for women, alms, fasting, sales, currency exchange, pawns. And it goes from there. It includes, of course, marriage laws. It includes crime and punishment. It includes testimony and retracting testimonies, rules on endowments and usurpation and so on. So these books have now engaged me for, I'd say, 3 or 4 years. And I used them in projects that you could consider complete. One was a textbook I wrote for the students 2 years ago. So Shaybani was my companion as I was writing this textbook. But there's more in it. There's more in these 57 books. So I don't know what I'll do with them, but it's the subject, and the research is getting larger and larger now with my interest in late Roman law and the Digest of Justinian. I am essentially playing with this idea that what if there are no legal traditions, independent legal traditions, really. That what we think of as independent legal traditions, Roman law, Jewish law, Islamic law, are nothing but systems whose borders are arbitrary. We build them because maybe partly because of religions, partly because of pedagogical considerations, and partly because of stamina, because we can't study all this. So if this thought isn't completely wrong, you will find more affinity, stronger affinities among jurists based on time, not geography. So late antiquity and early medieval Islam will have a certain flavor, and that you could find some of that in late Roman law and early Islamic law. And you could also notice that the Hanafi legal tradition, because it lived too long, about 1,000 years, it itself changed considerably in the 1,000 years between Shaybani and Ibn Abdin, if we take the 8th and the 18th. So that leads exactly sort of to the opposite conclusion that Patricia Crona made, that there's nothing new between 800 and 1800, that everything new is produced because of time, because of the changing conditions and because of the expansion, the change in demography. The laws begin to govern different populations, and then they have to change. Doesn't mean that one cannot find a small number of principles that people are trying to satisfy as they reason.
I then asked Professor Ahmed about his current research into a Shaybani and early Islamic legal thought.
So my project is still hard to describe, but it is essentially a question of the nature of Islamic law, the big picture, how early Islamic law, which I said in my doctoral dissertation was not something that I could study and wasn't worthy of studying. I'm definitely taking that back. Whether this early Islamic law is a different creature from the advanced Islamic law of Kassani, let's say, in the 12th century. And it is different. I mean, I know enough to say that it is different, but can I describe that difference? Can I also describe how this keeps changing with the rise of the more independent nations since Mamluk times, all before modernity, the rise of little countries within the Muslim world, because keeping the caliphate, of course, became, or the central state became so hard, and how the different sides of this law took us all the way to the modern centuries. So, yeah, there is just not a name for this project yet, but I keep studying in these directions.
Turning to his time in Cairo this summer, I asked Professor Ahmed about his course during the Islamic law program, and particularly the outcomes he expects students to achieve by the end of the week.
I want them to not be scared of Islamic legal texts. They don't bite. Every author has a certain way of talking and writing, and it takes a while to get accustomed to that anyway. But once you get accustomed to that, it just opens up. So the Shaybani who's writing about menstruation and about divorce and about inheritance laws is very similar to the Shaybani who's writing about confessions in courts and borrowing and interdiction and preemptive sales and so on. It's the same person. Now, of course, these subjects are different. Some of them allow more religious considerations than others, because rituals, for example, are all religious, completely religious. So if you have directions from the tradition, from the inherited tradition, that would dominate the discussion. But not so land taxes, not so court procedures and so on. So I want students to be comfortable. Now, we'll focus on Shaybani, but if they keep pushing me, I'll leave Shaybani and go to the other texts that I like too. So I think of it more as an introductory class, exposure to legal literature, taking away the edge, the fear that students often have. And also the strange sense that Islamic law is irrelevant. I don't know how you can say that today. Islamic law, I mean, first of all, we have no land today that's governed by one legal system. It's all hybridized. And Islamic law penetrates so many aspects of the life of Muslims and non-Muslims. So ignorance of it is not an advantage. And it will be an advantage for these particular students if they are industrious enough to learn how to handle these old texts. These are texts of jurisprudence, yes. I keep saying law, and I mean jurisprudence, because I know Professor Surag has another interest in distilling the law of courts from all these juristic discussions, and he'll be part of the program too. So I'll be kind of completing the picture that he is drawing.
As we concluded our conversation together, I asked Professor Ahmed if he had any final comments about the summer program.
Well, I hope students will interrupt me, will tell me what they feel, will not be shy to ask questions. I don't want to talk to myself.
That was our interview with Professor Ahmed Altaf Ahmed, who will be joining us during the Islamic Law program this summer in Cairo.